This is 24/7 World Radio.
Our second hour concerning the history of the attack, the government of Israel attack on the Liberty, and who was the one really behind it, and for what reason. Who and why? Remember, as a researcher, you have six friends. Six friends have I. Who, what, where, how, when, and why? And the why and the who, I maintain, are the most important. The others can easily be ascertained. So, I read to you a portion of The Secret War Against the Jews by John Loftus, page 192, 193, concerning the NSA. We read, in 1982, James Bamford published his seminal history of the NSA, The Puzzle Palace, which disclosed some of the main points of the NSA-GCHQ liaison. We read. It goes down. We had them cold, recalls one former intelligence official who was cleared to see the gold paper reports. We knew who was shipping the arms, who was paying for them, who was being paid in this country, every illegal thing that was going on in this country because of politics. Very little was ever done with this intelligence, but no, because of the Vatican influence, because of the power of the Jesuits and their papacy that controls the Justice Department, little is done about it. Just don't blame politics, okay? But so far as I knew, the National Security Agency still has a group like that buried somewhere deep. Then the author continues. That was a quote from Bamford's work. The author quotes, it does indeed. Its nickname is the Jew Room. Inside the National Security Agency, that's NSA, is an intelligence center from which all American Jews are banned, regardless of their proven loyalty or devotion to country, just as the U.S. Navy banned Jews from electronic surveillance ships such as the USS Liberty. And that's correct. There were no Jews that were CTs on the Liberty at the time. The quote, there was no one who spoke Hebrew, and openly noted to speak Hebrew on the ship. The Jew Room, quote unquote, is where the United States and Britain spy on Israel and on anyone who supports Israel. This is Loftus's mistake. The United States and Britain are not the enemies of Israel. The United States and Britain, run by the Jesuits, are the greatest aiders and abettors of the government of Israel to the horrible, terrible hurt of the people who live there. So Loftus is wrong about this. Loftus believes in a Cold War. Loftus believes in airborne nuclear war. Loftus believes that the USSR and the United States were enemies. All nonsense. We go on. Its name is a misnomer, as the intelligence center has more than one room and more than one agency. As we shall see in the following chapters, it is and has been the heart of the secret war against the Jews. There is a war against the Jews, but it's a war against the Jewish people and not a war against the government of Israel that runs Israel. Always make that dichotomy. Loftus is a Roman Catholic anyway, trained by Jesuits at Boston College, so he can only be right on certain things. More Knights of Malta involved in the Kennedy assassination. We talked about Angleton, we talked about Raymond Rocco, we talked about Dickie DeLoach, we talked about William F. Buckley, we talked about Lee Iacocca. There's another one whose name is Thomas Kylie Gorman, who was the Bishop of Dallas-Fort Worth. He's a Knight of Malta. He's the one that sends Oscar Huber down to the autopsy, or down to the pronouncing of Kennedy dead at Parkland Hospital. Knight of Malta Gorman oversaw that and made sure that he was deader than a hammer. Because LBJ, when he's sworn in on a Roman Catholic missile in Air Force One by a Roman Catholic woman, she holds the missile there. As he's sworn in, he turns around and looks. And the one who he looks at, who becomes also an advisor in his administration, is another Knight of Malta. He became also the head, a censor in Hollywood many years after that. And his name is Jack Valenti. Jack Valenti was a Knight of Malta. Jack Valenti was a good friend of Alexander Haig, another Knight of Malta, who also was involved in the Kennedy assassination. Alexander Haig has a brother named Francis Haig. He's a Jesuit, or was a Jesuit physicist out of Loyola Baltimore University. And then we have other Knights of Malta. One of them was Clay Shaw. Clay Shaw was a Knight of Malta, and he was a dear friend of Lindy Boggs in New Orleans, who was the Dame of Malta, and who will be awarded later with the Sword of Ignatius Loyola by the Archbishop of St. Louis, a Jesuit university. Hale Boggs was murdered, a Knight of Columbus, because he said Oswald didn't do any shooting. So they killed him along with Nick Begich when they were coming in a small aircraft down from Alaska to the mainland. They kill all their and many of their enemies by bringing down their airplanes, like Larry McDonald is another one. So you have many Knights of Malta involved in the Kennedy assassination, and they will also be involved in the cover-up. And this will lead to the massacre on the USS Liberty 4 years after the murder of Kennedy, and nobody's prosecuted, and nobody goes to jail. And by the way, Clay Shaw was prosecuted, and the Irish Roman Catholic judge, Aloysius Haggerty, who was the judge at the trial there in New Orleans, deliberately kept evidence from being entered into the court. Like Clay Shaw had an alias, which was Clay Bertrand. That was not allowed to be entered as evidence into the court, into the record. So Haggerty is on working for the Jesuits in New Orleans there, out of their Loyola, out of New Orleans and Loyola University there in New Orleans, deliberately not allowing certain evidence to be introduced. And that's absolutely able to be done when you're sitting in an emergency war powers military jurisdiction. We've been under military jurisdiction since 1938 in every state court and every federal court. And I have a motion in right now to a case that I have against the Secretary of Treasury, motioning the court to give a civilian due process of law, and if he can't, to tell me why. And that motion hasn't been answered, and it's going on 60 days. And they're not going to answer that motion because they cannot. If they answer it honestly, I will publish it everywhere to show every federal district court hasn't been sitting in civilian due process of law for nearly 90 years, from 1938. So what's that, 85 years, something like that? 84 years. All of it run by the Jesuits. So we have this cover-up, and the cover-up will be facilitated by the Council on Foreign Relations, which was founded in New York City in 1921. Yeah, Royal Institute for International Affairs was founded in England after World War I in 1919, and its sister founded here in New York in 1921, overseen by James Cardinal Gibbons, the first American Pope out of Baltimore. Later, that responsibility would fall to the Archbishop of New York City, as was in the days of Kennedy. And you get an annual report of the Council on Foreign Relations, and you will count there probably no less than 500 Jews. But all these Jews are busy working for the Archbishop. They're busy working for the papacy. Friedman and others, many of them, Henry Kissinger, CFR. All the leading Jews in Congress, for the most part, are members of the Council on Foreign Relations. They're going to play the left-wing socialist communist part in everything they do, which is the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party is a communist party. No Bible-believing Christian can be a member of the Democratic Party. If you are, you're in sin. And so these Jews are busy working for the papacy, giving the impression that the Jews in general are just like them, loyal to the government of Israel, which has murdered its own people since really its founding and not ruled for the benefit of them ever. Why? Because it's run by the papacy. The intelligence community runs the government, the Mossad. The intelligence community here runs the government, the CIA and the FBI and NSA and all 16 intelligence agencies in this country. They run the government. You think you have a vote, you're out of your mind. You think the candidates that run for office are coming up from among the people? You think Trump is any less controlled than Biden? You're out of your mind. They're all agents of the Pope through his Central Intelligence Agency. You get a book called written by the deputy director of the CIA, Victor Marchetti. It's called The Cult of Intelligence. And in that, it tells you that the CIA is the enforcer for the policies of the Council on Foreign Relations. My friend Joel Bainerman, who was an Israeli, and I visited him over there and told him about Vatican assassins, how the government's run by the Pope, and he totally believed it. He was poisoned by Victor Marchetti with a poison tie. Marchetti gave him a tie, and it was gave him cancer of the throat. He later recovered, but that's the fact. And there's a good Marchetti, good Italian Roman Catholic serving the Pope. Raymond Rocca, good Italian Roman Catholic. All these Roman Catholics and Irish Catholics, I'm telling you, are the absolute dupes and slaves of the papacy, and they like it. Just like G. Gordon Liddy in his book, A Will, the autobiography of G. Gordon Liddy, it says right in there that the Jesuits rule the world and that they enjoy it. Quoted in my book, Vatican Assassins. The men of the Fordham Community Club or whatever, they rule the world and they enjoy it. Sure do. So, you have all these Knights of Malta, these high-level Freemasons, and there's a cover-up of the Kennedy assassination. Just like the Liberty Massacre, there was a cover-up. The power to continue the cover-up is greater than the power to carry out the assassination. Who's behind the cover-up? Then in 65 and afterwards, there was Henry Luce and William F. Buckley and all their key knights in political power and press power and high-level Freemason and Jewish Freemasons. If those Jews were really, really patriotic to the nation of Israel, they would have exposed that government of Israel as the traitors that it were, subject to the CIA, for the purpose of sinking the liberty they intended to sink it. The torpedo, if it had not hit one of the bulkheads, the ship would have broken in half. And you can read, just listen to all this and the great work, Sacrificing Liberty. It's a 4-DVD set. You want to get it. And you can read about it in Erasing the Liberty by Philip Turney with David Gaharie. And the reason why I didn't go down, another reason, there was a praying Christian on Liberty, on USS Liberty. His name was Golden. George Golden. And George Golden prayed that the Lord would intervene and keep the ship from sinking when it was listing to the starboard side, the right side, left side. The Lord intervened. When the one particular guy that was able to get the wiring up to send the SOS, one man did that. That SOS was sent out by that one black guy in the Liberty. He sends out an SOS, and one white guy there from the south picks it up at the Saratoga. An aircraft carrier. Meanwhile, Israel is jamming the frequencies. And how'd they get the frequencies? Because it was given to them by the NSA. That's also in the book, Erasing the Liberty. Jamming the frequencies so no SOS could be sent out, so that there would be no rescuers, and ultimately the ship would sink. No one would know how it sunk, and then, except the Pope and the NSA and Spellman, and then it would go down. You could blame Egypt, and then you could launch an attack. And there was no nuclear attack going to be launched. That's not true. They did not even have, they had, I believe, some planes loaded with nukes, but they never took off the aircraft carrier. There was never to be any nuclear attack of Cairo. That's not true because at the top, they know they don't work. They don't detonate. Either an air burst or hitting the ground. So it was a threat. It was a scare. And then LBJ, after the head of the commander of the Saratoga sent out his F-4s, LBJ has them called back. Why? Because if those F-4s going 1,700 miles an hour with afterburner, if they would have gotten there, they would have gotten there before that ship was torpedoed. And they could have blew those little Israeli punk boats right out of the water. They didn't want that to happen. They wanted a successful sinking of the Liberty, So the filthy Lyndon Baines Johnson with his right-hand man, Robert Strange McNamara, who was also a Knight of Malta, order the commanders of the Navy to stand down and recall their ships, recall their planes. This is from Spellman. Spellman ran LBJ. Spellman ran McNamara, that criminal who made sure that 58,000 American men were killed in Nam and 120,000 suicides take place after that because of a no-win policy in Nam. Thank McNamara, one of the whiz kids out of what? Ford Motor Company, a night of Malta. So I want to review so that this doesn't sound like I'm just shooting from the hip because I've given you a lot of books to read. I want to go into a history of this matter. Now, remember, whenever you study an incident, you have to get into the stream of history, and then you need to float down the river of that history. So when you get to the event you want to look at, you know where you've come from. Without doing that, you don't have a real study of an incident. You have to get upstream and float down in your raft of sources and information so that when you arrive, it makes sense. Okay, so I'm going to go back here a little bit. Jerusalem was conquered, taken from the Muslims in 1099 by the Knights Hospitallers. They would become the Knights of Malta. This began what's known as the Latin Kingdom of Jerusalem. The boundaries were about the same as in Israel today. Later on, Saladin conquers Jerusalem, I think in 1152, somewhere around there. He takes Jerusalem from the Knights, but the Knights are still there in the revived Latin Kingdom of Jerusalem. And there's a movie on it called The Kingdom of Jerusalem that's done pretty well. It's a 4-disc set, I believe. At least 2-disc. So you have, in 1291, the Muslims will take all of the Latin Kingdom of Jerusalem. They will kill all the Roman Catholics because there are no Protestants. There's no Reformation going on at this time. And the Knights Hospitallers will have to escape on their ships. They will first take up their post at Acre in northern Israel, northern Canaan. I don't like to call it Palestine. Palestine is a name of Rome for Israel. They call it Palestine. One of the emperors wanted to call it Palestinia. That's a Roman name for it. It's not the God-given name of either Canaan or Israel. So we go on, and in 1291, the Muslims drive out the Knights Templars. They go to Malta. They go to the island of Rhodes first, and then they go to Malta, and that's where they're going to have their home. And so, as a result of this, the Pope continues his crusades to try to take back Jerusalem. But it can't be done. There are 9 crusades. The 10th crusade will be the crusade of Napoleon in his invasion of Egypt. The 11th crusade will be the British in their invasion of the Palestine there area under the Ottoman Turks. General Allenby, who is a Christian man, will dismount from his horse and he will walk through the Jaffa Gate and he will say, "I will not come to Jerusalem as a conqueror. Will come to Jerusalem as a pilgrim." Remember, the most sacred city on the face of the earth is Jerusalem, because that's the city that rightfully belongs to the risen Lord Jesus Christ, and from which city he will one day rule the world for 1,000 years. This city is equally important to the papacy. The 2 most important cities to the Jesuits and their papacy are Jerusalem and Babylon. Jerusalem and Babylon. And when they go through their spiritual exercises, the 2 most important cities during that initiation are Jerusalem, the city of God, and Babylon, the city of Satan. But those are the 2 most important cities. And so they take Jerusalem from the Muslims in 1917. They drop tracks, and the Muslims leave Jerusalem on orders of the Sultan, because the Sultan's in on it too, along with the King of England, George V, who's the twin brother-looking of Nicholas II in Russia. So, what happens is, in 1312, the Knights Templars are suppressed by the Pope. Many of them burned at the stake. They retreat to Rosslyn Chapel in Scotland, and there they will become the Knights Templars in Scotland, from which will be derived the Scottish Rite Freemasonry. Okay. As a result, you have the Rome's Dark Ages. You don't have the circulation of the Bible in the common language of man, and the true believers in Europe are persecuted fiercely, like the Vaudois, started by Peter Waldo, their born-again Christian people, and others. So, the Dark Ages last for 1,000 years, until the Reformation takes place in 1517 with Martin Luther starting it. The great Saxon that God will use to begin to break the spiritual and temporal power of the Pope. Well, as a result of the Reformation, the devil starts the Counter-Reformation. He uses Ignatius Loyola. So it's Luther versus Loyola. This is a Hegelian dialectic throughout history for the last 500 years. It's the key to understanding modern history. So they're called the Military Order of the Society of Jesus. They were first known as the Knights of the Virgin Mary, as Loyola named them, because they worship the Virgin Mary. They're going to make the Virgin Mary the second person of the Godhead of their Roman Catholic triune God in 1854 with the doctrine of the Immaculate Conception. The Father, the Mother, the Child, just like Babylon. Well, with the Reformation, we have the Bible in the hands of the common man, versus the Counter-Reformation that can't stand the Bible in the hands of the common man. And I mean the Bible that comes from the Textus Receptus, or the Byzantine text, or the majority text, whatever you want to call it, translated into the languages of the common man. It's the Word of God. And so the Jesuits condemned the Reformation with the Council of Trent from 1545 to 1563, and they ended it with the phrase, with the yell, "Accursed be all heretics." Quote, unquote. Yeah, the birth of the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant Western civilization, and the Anglo-Saxons will be used by God to get the gospel to the ends of the earth. They will be the most prosperous, inventive nations in world history. So if the Jesuits are going to succeed in destroying the Reformation, you got to destroy the white race, the white Saxons, Anglo-Saxons, and you got to just get the Bible out of their hands, which they have done. There is no white Protestant nation anymore on the face of the Lord's flat earth. We go on. So they fomented a war between the English Protestants, between Great Britain, and the German Protestants, between the Second Protestant Reich from 1870 to 1918. 1870 to 1918, the Protestant Second Reich, brought about by the great and learned Otto von Bismarck. So now, we have this war. We have the Second 30 Years' War from 1914 to 1945 with the purpose destruction of the British Empire and the German Empire, the Protestant Second Reich, which happens in 1918. And then the Jesuits bring to power their Adolf Hitler, and they're going to have their Third Reich. Their Third Reich is Roman Catholic. It will last from 1933 to 1945. And in the Third Reich, aided and abetted by the West, they will decimate what is left of the Lutheran Reformation in Prussia and in Germany. And that's why they will bomb all these cities in historic Protestant Germany, like Bremerhaven and Hamburg and these other particular cities. That's why they're going to bomb Protestant towns in England, like Hull and Coventry, pretending that if they shot down the Nazi bombers that were coming, that they would give away that they had discovered the code of Enigma, and that they would realize they broke the German code. That's all a lie from filthy Winston Churchill. It was mutual destruction of Protestant cities. That's why they would bomb London, St. Paul's Cathedral, and right next to it was a very large Jewish population. That's why the British, with Bomber Harris, would bomb and destroy Dresden, the most beautiful Protestant city on the Elbe, and they would bomb Germany to smithereens, once a Protestant city. They would destroy Luther's Church of Our Lady, bomb to smithereens, destroying the Protestant Reformation, not only there, but in the Netherlands. They would bomb Rotterdam, another historic Protestant nation. They would take all the gold out of the central bank of Denmark. It's one pillage and plunder of the Protestant Western civilizations, working the Jesuits overseeing both the British, the American, and the German leaders, and the Japanese leaders at the time. They all worked together, as they would work together during the attack on the USS Liberty. Go on, we have the Dreyfus Affair. We have the Dreyfus Affair during this, just right before the beginning of World War One in the 1890s. A Jewish captain in the French army is blamed for giving military secrets to Prussia. And so he's wrongly convicted, and he's sent to Devil's Island. Devil's Island was the Jesuit order's modern-day holy office of the Inquisitional dungeon. Jesuits ran it. You can watch a movie called Papillon, and it tells you all about Devil's Island, how it really was. So he stays there for 10 years until his case is finally reviewed, and it's reviewed by some virtuous Frenchmen, and they're able to bring him out, and they found out that the one who gave the secrets was a Roman Catholic named Esterhazy, and it was not Dreyfus. At the trial of Dreyfus, there's a man there. His name is Theodore Herzl. Theodore Herzl sees this unjust trial, and he says, we need to have our own nation, we Jewish people. And so what does he do? Well, he goes to the Pope, and he gets an audience with the Pope in about 1901, thereabouts. The Pope puts his blessing on it because it's really the attempted revival of the Latin Kingdom of Jerusalem, which the Templars and the papacy and the Jesuits have wanted for centuries. The Rothschilds will help to finance it because the Rothschilds are working for the papacy. They're not the big bankers, but they're working for the papacy among the Jews. The big bankers are the Pallavicinis and the Orsinis and the Aldobrandinis and the Contis, and those are the big bankers. Rothschilds are kindergartens compared to those guys. And so they are going to lay the foundation for a Jewish state. And like I said, Britain took Jerusalem from the Muslims, 1917. You got the Balfour Declaration, 1918. Balfour is a British statesman, calls for Israel to be a Jewish state for the Jews. And so how are we going to get the Jews out of Europe? Oh, what we're going to have is we're going to have a Eurasian Jewish Holocaust. And the ones that survive will now want to run to participate in the establishment of Israel. The Pope's revived Latin Kingdom of Jerusalem, run by that government of Israel, overseen by the papacy. And so they have the Eurasian Jewish Holocaust. 6.8 million Jews are killed, according to the ex-Jesuit Alberto Rivera, and more than 6 million, according to a former SS officer. Just what the Pope wanted. All of it overseen by the Jesuits, because they hate the Jews. Back in a moment.
This is 24/7 World Radio, and you're listening to The Eric John Phelps Show.
This is Brother Jack. I invite you to listen to my broadcast on 247worldradio.com. I preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to the Polish-speaking people scattered around the whole world. Furthermore, I defend the Reformation in Poland, Polish Protestants and Baptists, and Polish Reformation Bible. I also expose the Counter-Reformation in my homeland, led by the Jesuits and by the Roman Catholic Institution. Join me every Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on 247worldradio.com. Tu brat Jacek, zapraszam Was do wysłuchania mojej audycji na 247worldradio.com. Głoszę Ewangelię Pana Jezusa Chrystusa ludziom mówiącym po polsku rozproszonym po całym świecie. Ponadto bronię reformacji w Polsce, polskich protestantów i baptystów oraz polskiej Biblii reformacyjnej. Demaskuję również kontrreformację w mojej ojczyźnie kierowaną przez jezuitów i przez rzymskokatolicką instytucję. Dołącz do mnie w każdy czwartek o godzinie 17 czasu wschodnioamerykańskiego na 247worldradio.com.
This is Brother Nicholas. Join me every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the German Bible Truth Hour and at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the Dutch Bible Truth Hour on 24/7 World Radio. This is Bruder Nicholas. Ich lade euch herzlich ein, mich anzuhören jeder Dienstag um 2 Uhr nachmittags, amerikanische Zeit, für die deutsche Bibelwahrheitsstunde und 3 Uhr amerikanische Standardzeit für die niederländische Bibelwahrheitsstunde am World Radio 24/7. Dit is Bruder Nico. U bent hartelijk uitgenodigd om elke dinsdag om 2 uur Amerikaanse standaardtijd het Duitse Bijbelwaarheidsuur te volgen en 3 uur Amerikaanse standaardtijd het Nederlandse Bijbelwaarheidsuur te volgen op 24/7 World Radio.
This is the Eric John Phelps Show on 24/7 World Radio.
Sitting here and reviewing of the history that leads up to the USS Liberty. And so we continue on. I mentioned the Cold War that started by Winston Churchill in 1947. By 1949, the Jesuits are going to put Mao Zedong in power in China. They're going to use certain skull and bonesmen. Mao is a priest. A portrait has recently surfaced out of New York where it shows him in a priestial garb. Mao was totally run by the Vatican, and he carried out all the policies of the Jesuit Order's Council of Trent, which included killing Bible-believing, heretic Chinese people, which has continued to this day. So, the Korean War starts in 1950, thanks to Dirty Harry Truman. The Sixth Fleet, the same Sixth Fleet that's not going to come to the aid of the Liberty, is going to block Chiang Kai-shek from being able to invade Red China, take over the government, and destroy the Mao Zedong. Chiang Kai-shek is betrayed by the State Department, overseen by Francis Cardinal Spellman. You can read more about this in the book, The Secret History of the Jesuits by Evan Paris. So Spellman ran the State Department through the Council on Foreign Relations. The people in the State Department were members of the CFR. There were also Papal Knights and high-level Freemasons. And so Spellman puts Mao in power but pretends to be against communism, and the communist threat, and has Joseph McCarthy ranting and raving everywhere. Oh, the communist threat, educated by Jesuits out of Marquette University in Wisconsin. So the Sixth Fleet blocks Chiang. So Red China is kept in power, and so it then dispatches 1 million men down to North Korea to fight and kill by nationalistic Koreans and American soldiers there. That's right. And when General Douglas MacArthur lands at Incheon and leaves the destroyers on the beach there, and he then breaks the power of the Red Chinese on the north, Dirty Harry Truman relieves him of his command. You can't beat the Red Chinese now, Doug. You know, we're building the commies. Mao Zedong was working with the head of the OSS, Wild Bill Donovan, when they assassinated the Baptist minister, John Birch, there. Don't you remember that, Doug? 33rd degree, Doug? Douglas MacArthur was a traitor. He knew exactly who ran this country. He knew exactly who ran Truman. And this little speech he gave, old soldiers never die, they just fade away, when he spoke at West Point, he could have said, listen, the Jesuits have taken over your country, and you greatly err in fighting for this military government because you're fighting for them around the world to restore the Pope's temporal power. He could have said that and taken a bullet to the head, but he was too much of a coward and a traitor to do it. So, we go on. Cold Wars, the purpose is to kill off Asian nationalists. We're going to kill off the Korean nationalists, the Vietnamese nationalists. We're going to kill off the Chinese nationalists. We're going to kill off the Japanese nationalists. Most of them had been killed in World War II. We're going to kill off the Thai nationalists and Laotian and Cambodian. We're going to move all the way down. And then we'll use Red China to destroy a Mongolia area that will be what Burma. They destroy Burma. Destroy all the nationalists there. You got to destroy nationalism among Asia before you can bring in the central power of the kings of the East, as prophesied by Revelation 16. And they will all be subordinate to Red China in their coming Sino-Soviet Muslim invasion into North America, which is what they're planning on and rehearsing for at this moment. All of them being built, those governments being built, those economies being built by this government here in Washington, your enemy that treats you all as enemy belligerents living in occupied territories since March 9th, 1933. What's going on? Then you have the Vietnam War. It starts in 1954, 1 year after Korea. It actually starts in 1945 because you see all the military supplies that were given that were going to be used for a 500,000-man American invasion of Japan. When they detonated those devices on the ground at Hiroshima and on the ground at Nagasaki, they dropped magnesium flash bombs to blind the people first, and then the Jesuits detonated them on ground. The Jesuits, six or seven Jesuits, surfaced from the ground zero at Hiroshima and attributed their survival to a miracle of the Virgin Mary. You can all read about it in the book, The Jesuits, Betrayal of the Catholic Church, by the Jesuit himself, who was later murdered. What's his name? Martin. I'll get it. Malachi Martin. All right, now we go on here, and the Vietnam War takes off. Oh, by the way, all the arms and weapons that were for the American invaders into Japan to really humble Japan was given to Ho Chi Minh. That's according to Larry Fletcher Prouty, Colonel Prouty. So those weapons could be used against American men when they would start to be brought into Vietnam in 1954. Under Eisenhower, that traitor. So we go on. Kennedy comes to power. And they plan to retake Cuba from Castro. Castro is trained by Jesuits for 7 years. So now they're going to cancel the air cover. And the ones who cancel it, and I had a little argument with Jim Rothstein about it because he was on the aircraft carrier. The one who canceled it was none other than McGeorge Bundy, according to L. Fletcher Prouty. McGeorge Bundy, in the White House, canceled the air cover. And he was skull and bones to make sure that those Cubans, when they finally came down there, they would lose when they invaded from Florida. And they invaded at the most terrible place, the Bay of Pigs at a reef. It's awful. So Castro is kept in power, and he is the Jesuit of the papacy. So JFK removes Alan Dulles from the CIA, removes Charles Cabell from the CIA's deputy director, and Charles Cabell is going to have a brother, and that brother's name is Earl Cabell, and Earl Cabell just happens to be the mayor of Dallas in 1963, who will change the parade route to go into that shooting assassination triangle there in Dallas for Kennedy to be shot from multiple shooters. That's Earl Cabell. That's who he did it. Going on, we have JFK. I said why they did it, why he wanted to do all these. He wanted to end the Vietnam War. He stopped Spellman from hearing the CIA daily brief of the CIA. Showed you all the Knights of Malta involved in it. One other knight you want to remember, his name is Louis Tordello. He was the longest reigning deputy director of the National Security Agency. He was an Italian Roman Catholic Jesuit coadjutor and a member of the Knights of the British Empire. The Jesuits controlling the British prime ministers and queens since no later than 1760. Our American Revolutionary War was fought against King George III, ruled by the Jesuits. That's why they would burn down the Protestants and the Protestant churches in America here. You read The Light and the Glory by Peter Marshall. It tells you about that. But going on, you got James J. Rowley. He's a Roman Catholic. He's a knight. His brother's a Jesuit, Francis Rowley. Rowley and Carthage de Loche go together to Georgetown University, and they speak with a Jesuit named Daniel Power after the assassination to further coordinate the Secret Service and the FBI to work together. You can read it in a book titled Hoover's FBI by Carthage de Loche. Luce buys the Zapruder film for $150,000 in the CIA doctors at Upper Rockefeller Center to remove the obvious that the driver did the shooting. And so the Jesuits rule the government of the United States. They rule the military government of the United States since March 9, 1933. The Jesuits ruled the military government of the USSR since no later than 1922. The Jesuits ruled the government of Israel since no later than 1948. So they're all working together. And the Masonic Jewish Labor Zionists, B'nai B'rith and the others, are busy defending the government of Israel, which should always be regarded as separate from the people in Israel living there. I know several men there that just abhorred what that government did. Joel Bannerman was one, and so was Barry Chamish, and they both passed away at about 59, age 59. They were the top historians and correspondents in Israel in the early 2000s. I went to visit them both. A book you want to get to show the liaison between the Masonic Jewish Labor Zionists and the Nazis is called Perfidy by Ben Hecht. When he proved that in that book, the ADL bought up every copy that they could find. I managed to get one from a Jewish bookstore in Toronto when I went to visit my dear friend up there, Nelson Thal, whose father ran the Toronto Star. So, as an aside here, Israel has a right to exist. They have a right to their land. The Abrahamic covenant of Genesis 15 maintains that. It's an everlasting covenant, never to change. They have a right to that land. So this whole agitation of the Palestinians are being bombed. The Palestinians, these Muslims, are constantly at war with the people in Israel, killing them and raping them every day. They need to be removed. They can go to Jordan. They can go to Lebanon. They can go to Egypt. But no, there has to be the quest for the Palestinian state. And the Palestinians are suckers. They're cannon fodder for the papacy to keep the agitation going for the Pope. They don't have a right to anything there. And I tell you that if these supposed Arab Muslims were advocating a right to their own land during the Ottoman Empire, those Ottoman Turks would have killed every last one of them. So they have a right to their land. Israel is to be regathered. Ezekiel 38:8, in a condition of unbelief. They don't know the Lord. That happened in 1948. And the Lord used the devil to facilitate it. So there must be a third temple built. You can read a book titled Days of Our Years by Pierre Van Passen. And in that work, he quotes the Mufti of Jerusalem. And he says, the Jews intend to rebuild that temple. That's 1942 that was written. Of course they do. Because it's prophesied there must be a third Hebrew temple. Revelation 11 verses 1 to 2. Matthew 24 verses 15 where Christ talks about the holy place. When you see the abomination of desolation set up in the holy place. There has to be a third Hebrew temple. That means there has to be a war in Israel to take it out. And that almost happened in 1966. During the Six-Day War involving the USS Liberty. So, I'll detail what happened here with the Liberty now. The plot was to sink the USS Liberty without a trace, blame Egypt so that the military government of the United States under control of the Pope and the commander-in-chief being Lyndon Bastard Johnson. And I use that term biblically. He's a bastard, not son. He was not a Christian. He was not a believer. He was an evil, wicked, immoral, filthy man. He said, I don't trust any man unless I have his pecker in my pocket. That's LBJ. He fathered several illegitimate children with the secretaries that he had chosen to be his secretaries. He was one of the most filthy, disgusting polecats that ever disgraced the White House. And what did he do? He surrounded himself with Masonic Jews in his administration that were loyal to the government of Israel because he would be used by the papacy to build the government of Israel so that it could further rule the revived Latin kingdom of Jerusalem for the benefit of the Pope and not for the benefit of the Jews living there. So going on, once that ship was sunk, the carrier fleet there of the America and the Saratoga were ready to invade with a marine landing force to invade Cairo. There was no chance of any dropping any nuclear bombs. That's not true. There's no such thing as airborne nuclear war. They loaded up the bombs, I believe, on the America, but they never took off. And I've seen those. They called elephant walk when the F-4s were loaded up with a nuke and spanged Alam Air Force Base and they would taxi down the runway and they called it elephant walking. And they take them back to Victor Alert and download the bombs. Spangdahlem, we had about 150 nuclear bombs there in the nuclear weapons area that I worked in. Okay, none of them work. None of them can be dropped. They don't detonate in motion, so don't worry about it. And it's the same with the Russian nukes and anybody else who has nukes. They have to be detonated on the ground, as I covered previously. Going on, now we have the once they would attack into Cairo, the Russians then promised that they would attack and bomb the Dome of the Rock. The military government running the Soviet Union was in the hands of the Jesuits then, as it is now. Who would benefit if the Dome of the Rock was destroyed by the Soviets? The revived Latin Kingdom of Jerusalem, run by the nation, run by the government of Israel, working for the Pope. So this was their design: weaken Egypt, remove Nasser, attack Cairo, Israel benefits. And the government of Israel benefits. Then have Russia destroy the Dome of the Rock and Alaska Mosque on the Temple Mount. Who benefits? The nation of Israel, the government of Israel, working for the Pope. So that would pave the way for the building of the third Hebrew temple. That's what was in the making. A massive event. And so, they attack the Liberty. They intend to sink it. It almost does sink, except for the prayers of George Gordon and others. George Golden. And had it not been for that one Terry Naflapalmer, I forget what his last name is, where he properly strangled that cable so they could get an SOS out, and that black man in Liberty who sends out the SOS that we're under attack. And one, the white Southerner at the Saratoga, gets the message and says that the Liberty is under attack. Immediately, Saratoga launches with 12 F-4s. For those miracles that enabled that message to get through. And that's when the nation, the government of Israel, starts to withdraw in its attack. If those F-4s would have gotten there and they travel 1,700 miles an hour, they could have made it there in 15 minutes in afterburner. They would have shot those PT boats out of the water. They would have seen that it's Israel, and that would have created an international affair. And hence, no more aid to the government of Israel, which is the way it should be. Don't give that wicked government a bullet. Get a government in there that will rule Israel for the benefit of the Jews. Then give them weapons. But not these people working for the Pope. Since David Ben-Gurion and Golda Meir and Yitzhak Rabin and all those other sinners. Yitzhak Rabin was the president of Israel at the time, working for the Pope. And so what happens is they're attacked by fighters. They have overflights first. Israel knows that it's the USS Liberty. The government of Israel knows it's USS Liberty. And then they attack with a bomb, and then they strafe it. And then after that, since the ship doesn't sink, by the grace of God, they send out their torpedo boats and they hit it with a torpedo. They hit it with the torpedo. They intended to torpedo it. And they machine gun the three life rafts that were put down. I understand one of them is on display in a museum in Tel Aviv. They intended to kill all the Americans. And when they dispatched those aircraft, McNamara immediately called the admiral and said, recall those. And that admiral said, no, I'm not going to do it. And so LBJ says, I want that GD, all those GD aircraft brought back here. I want that Liberty at the bottom of the ocean. And I'm not going to betray my allies. Well, he admitted right then and there it was Israel, the government of Israel, before it had been ascertained it was them. And the NSA is busy over the top of the Liberty, some 3 miles high, monitoring the attack, because the NSA is involved, thanks to the Jesuit coadjutor Louis Tordello overseeing the whole damnable thing. I get it, can't control myself. Okay, going on. Then we have, and then after they bomb the ship is just nearly ready to sink. They're not going to take it to Crete. They're not going to tow it to Crete or have it run to Crete so it can be repaired. They're going to make it go to Malta, 1,000 miles away, a 6-day journey, hoping and praying the thing will sink. And it's over the deepest waters of the Mediterranean. Okay. Liberty is finally refitted in Malta. And they go to Malta because that's one of the chief headquarters of the Knights of Malta there. And guess who's the Knight of Malta? John C. McCain Jr. He goes to the Grand Master of the Knights of Malta. Father? Because remember, the Grand Master of the Knights is considered to be a cardinal. Do we do good, Father? So we got Rear Admiral. We got the Admiral Kidd telling all the guys in the Liberty to shut your mouths or I'll put you to prison, maybe worse. Admiral Kidd's father was killed on the USS Arizona with the attack at Pearl Harbor. And the ironic thing is the magazine was detonated by the Office of Naval Intelligence to make sure the Japanese would sink the Arizona. Because the plating on the top of the deck was too thick for the bomb to penetrate. And it didn't go down the smokestack. And today, you can't even dive the Arizona. Can't even dive it. Going on. So the final word is this. That's what they wanted to do. That was the overall design of it. Had not God intervened with a few men to thwart the attack. And in conclusion, I want to read to you the finding of Admiral Moorer, the great Admiral Moorer. And he says here, from Admiral Thomas H. Moorer, 1997, he had been, one of the heads of the Joint Chiefs. He was the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff from 67 to 70. Here's what he says. He says, I have never believed that the attack on the USS Liberty was a case of mistaken identity. That is ridiculous. I have flown over the Atlantic and Pacific Oceans thousands of hours searching for ships and identifying all types of ships at sea. The Liberty was the ugliest, strangest-looking ship in the U.S. Navy. As a communications intelligence ship, it was spouting every kind of antenna. It looked like a lobster with all those projections moving every which way. He goes on, and he talks about Moshe Dayan being involved in the attack. It was the wanton sneak attack of 34 American sailors and dead 171 seriously injured, actually 174. And Washington would cooperate in quelling any public outcry. Liberty only had 50 caliber machine guns, a couple of them. Just a pair, that's all they had. So he goes on, he says, with the Liberty riddled with holes, fires burning, and scores of casualties, three Israeli torpedo boats closed in for the kill. This is from an admiral who was the head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. The second of three torpedoes ripped through the compartment at amidships, drowning 25 of the men in that section. Then the torpedo boats closed in to within 100 feet of the Liberty to continue the attack with cannons and machine guns, resulting in further casualties. They also destroyed the lifeboats, which was a war crime. As we know now, if the rescue aircraft from the U.S. carriers had not been recalled, they would have arrived at the Liberty before the torpedo attack, reducing the death toll by 25 at least. That's right. They just shot them right out of the water. And I want to say here, gentlemen, there comes a time in your military career when you're going to have to disobey orders. You're going to have to. And I like to think that if I was a fighter pilot, I would have said, you know, I didn't get the message. And I'd have went there full bore, and whatever I found, I'd be shooting it right out of the water, even if my plane went into the drink. I'm not going to let my countrymen, my fellow sailors, be attacked like that if I can do anything about it. That's an American. Going on. He goes on to say, he says, McGonagall, who was the captain, did a good job. He said he went to the White House 15 times to watch President. Personally, award the Congressional Medal of Honor to Americans. But McGonagall's ceremony was in a Washington Navy Yard with nobody there. Because, you see, they bribed McGonagall that if he would alter his story, they'd give him another stripe and they'd give him the Medal of Honor. And that's what he did, and he confessed it to an officer, David Lewis, while McGonagall was on his deathbed as he was weeping. He goes on, he talks about the Moore Report. And it's we the undersigned, and he gives all the truth here in the Moore Report that you can get in the book, Erasing the Liberty. And then he says, whereupon the undersigned, in order to fulfill our duty to the brave crew of USS Liberty and to all Americans who are asked to serve in our armed forces, hereby call upon the Department of the Navy, the Congress of the United States, the American people to immediately take the following actions. First, that a new court of inquiry be convened by the Department of the Navy operating with congressional oversight. You know who have advocated that? The black congresswoman from, I believe, Georgia, Cynthia McKinney. And they ran her out of there. Goes on. He says, second, that every appropriate committee of the Congress of the United States investigate the action of the White House and Defense Department that prevented the rescue of the USS Liberty, thereafter threatened her surviving officers and men if they exposed the truth and covered up the true circumstances of the attack from the American people. And that the 8th day of June be a day of remembrance. Signed, Thomas H. Moore, Raymond G. Davis, Merlin Starling, starring in James Atkins. That's the real record. They intended to sink the ship. It was no mistaken identity, which is a lie from the government of Israel. But the government of Israel knew it had the protection of the Pope through its control, through the papacy's control of LBJ, the NSA, and all the intelligence communities. And today, this has never been solved until right now. Now you know who did it. Now you know what to do if you're a patriot. And by the way, I would appreciate a donation maybe. I think you could send me $50 for giving you the story on the USS Liberty that's been suppressed for 55 years. Spellman was the one behind it. Could you help me out? Because Brother Eric might be just stepping off this globe, this flat earth sometime shortly. Maybe I've said too much, but you know what? You need to know. Brother Eric John Phelps, thank you for tuning in today. May you believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, that he was buried and resurrected, and that whosoever shall call upon him shall be saved. Amen and amen. I trust you are one of them today. So until Monday, have a good weekend. Worship in the Lord's day. Purity of holiness. Till then, Maranatha.